From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Austin. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where employees at Pavement Coffee House are unionizing. If successful, Pavement would be the first coffee business in the state with a unionized workforce. GBH's Tori Bedford has been following the story, and she joins us now. Hey, Tori, happy Friday.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So for those who don't know, Pavement is a staple around the Boston University area of town. Didn't you get me a bagel from there once?
Yeah, they have locations all over the place. There's like a Newbury Street one. There's one in Cambridge. There's one in Fenway. They've really expanded in the last few years.
Yeah, they have a pretty big footprint, it sounds like. So why are the workers unionizing?
So they're planning to negotiate a contract that will include higher pay. Currently, they start at the state's minimum wage and see a 25-cent raise every 6 months. They want a pay audit of all salaries, more mental health resources, including added breaks, and more transparency. I think a lot of these issues came out of working during the pandemic. Some employees felt blindsided by new COVID-19 safety protocols that came down from the top, and they didn't feel like their perspective was included in those decisions. So they really just want some cultural changes and then some really kind of concrete changes in terms of pay and benefits. And it's also just this idea that coffee shop jobs deserve respect. And I've worked in coffee shops. There's always a really high turnover rate at these places. I think it's because the conditions aren't great. So what they're suggesting is, hey, you know, why should you go into a job assuming that the conditions won't be great, assuming that you can't grow and build a career there? Why not just change the conditions? This is what shift supervisor Jude Hanley told me.
I could find another job and I could go to another coffee shop, but at the end of the day, it's not just about me, because I know there's going to be people who've come before me who are going to come after me. And I'm not trying to leave Pavement worse or the same as I came into it.
Well, that sounds pretty reasonable. And Tori, how are the efforts to unionize moving along?
So this is crazy. These employees right now are really making history. Again, we can't say this enough. They're going to be, potentially, if successful, the first coffee shop chain in the state that has unionized. And so this effort started about 2 weeks ago. A committee of 11 employees got together. They found resources. They're now represented by the Unite Here Union. They presented a letter to owner Larry Margulies on Tuesday. And the next day, he had agreed to recognize the union. But there was a question there of whether or not he was going to recognize the union based on card checks, which is essentially that, you know, they would need to have a majority of their 80 employees sign these cards that say, we intend to unionize. It's not the same thing as a ballot. It's not a vote. And so often employers in situations where employees are trying to unionize, they'll push back and say, well, we don't recognize this until you've had a vote. And so that forces the employees who are trying to unionize to petition the National Labor Relations Board, and then they will supervise a vote. And so the response from Pavement ownership was that they were going to recognize the union if they have a supermajority of cards. So those cards that say that people want to unionize. You know, I think they're almost at total unanimity right now in terms of the cards, and they'll have a card check, I think, as soon as Monday. And, you know, within the next few days, they can start to talk about what a contract would look like, and they can sit down at some point with the owners and actually begin negotiations. And again, this is really extremely rare. There was a recent high-profile union fight at an Amazon warehouse in Alabama, and it showed kind of how companies typically respond. I mean, this was a huge corporation, but at every step of the way, Amazon fought the union. They engaged in a lot of union-busting tactics, and they defeated the effort. And so it's really interesting to see this small company here in Boston respond in a completely opposite way, and that's why this is really history in the making.
And to that point, what could that mean for other coffee shops or service industry workplaces?
So there have been a few, just a handful of coffee shops locally that have unionized, White Electric in Providence, Spot in New York. But this is really making history as the first cafe chain in Massachusetts. Here's shift supervisor Emma Delaney, who helped organize the initial effort.
I think the fact that we get the opportunity to be a blueprint is a huge driving force behind this. And just kind of reminding ourselves that this is very much like a right of ours to organize.
And it's important to note, again, that they are not quite at the finish line yet. The card check could happen as soon as Monday. Things will move forward after that. Mitch Fallon, who's helping represent the workers through the Unite Here Union, says it's wild and extremely rare that this process has happened so quickly.
We look forward to continuing with good conversations with management. Just 2 weeks ago, this was an idea, and now it's feeling more like reality.
And it's really important to remember, just lastly, that, you know, things seem to be moving forward really quickly, and there's a lot of positivity around this, but victory for these employees isn't necessarily getting the recognition of the union from the owners, because the owners can recognize the union, but then negotiations for the contract begin. And so what they really need to get out of this and what they really want is a good, strong union contract that includes a significant pay raise, you know, the pay audit, more transparency, the flexibility, the mental health resources, all those things that they are asking for. You know, they need to actually get those, and that will be a victory for them. And that is still something that, you know, it's in the future. That's kind of the finish line, and remains to be seen how that will pan out.
Well, we know that you will be following them along all the way. That's GBH's Tori Bedford. We always love having you on, and let's grab a coffee soon.
Okay, great. We'll get another bagel. Thank you, Paris.
Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. Massachusetts Attorney General Mara Healey is pushing back against proposed bankruptcy protections for the family behind Purdue Pharma, creator of the opioid OxyContin. Purdue has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, which effectively shields the company from any further litigation related to the opioid crisis. This week, a judge ruled that those same bankruptcy protections could also be extended to the Sacklers themselves in exchange for forfeiture of their pharmaceutical company and a one-time $4.2 billion payout from their private fortunes. Those in support of a negotiated settlement say it would preempt years of costly litigation and could accelerate financial aid to communities struggling to recover from an epidemic that has already cost more than 450,000 lives. AG Healey is not happy with the proposal.
It's the company that has claimed bankruptcy. The Sacklers are not bankrupt. Therefore, they should not be afforded special protection through the bankruptcy proceeding, through the bankruptcy court.
Those joining Healey in opposing the plan include 23 other states' attorneys general, the AG for Washington, D.C., and attorneys representing local and state governments, Native tribes, and opioid activists. Switching gears, a new MIT study shows the number of people going into cardiac arrest at home jumped by 35% during the pandemic. The reason? People didn't want to go to the hospital and risk catching COVID. Chris Sun is an MIT postdoctoral fellow and one of the study's authors. He says even when people called 911, they often refused to be taken to the ER.
At the same time, we also saw this increased rate of hospital refusals after calling EMS. So we were kind of getting this double whammy in terms of patients not seeking care.
Sun says that in some cases, patients would suffer cardiac arrests soon after they initially refused hospital treatment. And finally, environmentalists and lobstermen aren't known for being on great terms, since endangered North Atlantic right whales are prone to getting entangled in lobster trap lines. But the two may have finally found some common ground. The state Senate has approved a budget amendment that provides $250,000 for more state environmental police patrols of coastal waters, a move supporters say protects both the whales and the lobster fishing industry. The patrols would warn boaters of the whales' presence, something State Senator Bruce Tarr says would benefit the lobstermen.
One of the things that increased environmental police patrols would do is be able to reduce the possibility of other vessels striking the whales, recreational vessels, other types of commercial vessels, which tend to represent more of a threat than the lines on lobster pots.
Tarr says increased patrols could also help find and remove abandoned fishing gear that causes entanglements. Hey, compromise is a beautiful thing. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since coastal waters and our efforts to protect them, I'm Paris Austin. Be well. Hey, true story, consider this as only part of my day job. I also work on WBUR's local daily news magazine show, Radio Boston. Radio Boston is another way to get a whole bunch of information about what is happening in our city and our region every day. Just search for Radio Boston in your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe.